John chapter 11, verse 35. Jesus wept.
It is the smallest verse in the English Bible. But if you go to some others, it's got three words in it instead of two, and on. There's an Old Testament verse that does say, "And he spoke," and that was all it says. So, point is, John chapter 11, verse 35, Jesus wept, and I would like to try to put some of that in context, then I'm going to make a leap over and then try to bring all that back together after I ramble around for a while. Jesus wept. But the context of that was right before Jesus was weeping. In chapter 11, we have, he's out with the disciples, he's teaching, he's healing, and they get a message that Lazarus is sick. Basically, it's more than, "Oh, excuse us, Lazarus is sick." It is, Lazarus has a crushing illness. You know, it's like they understood that this was a life-threatening illness that Lazarus had, and he needed to come right then. But if you read a little before where he wept, in the same chapter, verse 11, you'll find out that Jesus just kind of fooled around for quite a while. And then they finally get another message that said he's asleep. And some of the disciples said, "Oh, well, if he's asleep, he's going to recover." That's in chapter, or verse 12. And then Jesus comes right out and says, "He died." That's what they're saying, he died. It's not a literal sleep, it is he died. So Jesus said to them plainly, "Lazarus is dead." And then he goes on, and this is what is interesting in verse 15, "And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Verse 16, this is how Thomas responds, one of the disciples. "Therefore Thomas," who is called Didymus, "says to his fellow disciples, 'Let us also go, so that we may die with him.'" So we may die with him. So we have this whole pre-existing lead up to Jesus weeping. Now, usually what they'll talk about is why he wept. There's a little bit more after this. The sisters, both Mary and Martha, Lazarus's sisters, when he does finally show up, they do acknowledge that Jesus is the Messiah. They say they know that he has the power. They know that he is going to resurrect people on the last day. But they was looking at it more like, "Yeah, but Jesus, you are up against death today. And, you know, that's not been one of your strong suits. All you've really, you did raise that one kid, but he hadn't been gone 4 days probably, because they bury on the third day, no later than the third. So, but this guy's been dead 4 days." So the sisters were upset, and you know, it wasn't the last days, so they didn't think Jesus would or could raise Lazarus from the dead. That was not on their minds. And they take him out to the cemetery, and he's standing there and he's weeping. Now, the people around says, "Oh, he must have loved him because he is crying." And it is true that Jesus, as the Messiah, in Isaiah says that he will bear their griefs and their sorrows. So yes, Jesus was in total empathy with Martha, with Mary, and with Thomas, who said, "Let's just go fling ourselves on the grave and die with him." But it seems to me, anyway, that there is more to this. He was also weeping because he was standing there going, the disciples still don't grasp it. The sisters still do not have the understanding. And Thomas, when he did speak, all he really got out of what Jesus said is, "Let us go to him." And then Thomas is added on, "that we may die with him." Isn't that a rather plaintive thing to say? Mr. Positivity there, let's just fold like a house of cards and let's just go throw ourselves out there on his tomb and just die there. And Jesus wept. And I think it was more than bearing their griefs and their sorrows, because these disciples and these sisters, they had spent years and lots of time with him, and he was the Word of God, but they still didn't get it. They did not grasp the power and the majesty, the ability of the Messiah. Really, if I had the voice, it should be like, the power and the majesty and the ability of the Messiah. They just didn't quite get it. Now, this is the part where I'm going to wander around and tie something into it. A lot of Christians, they quote, without faith, it's impossible to please God, to please Him, to please God. And that is absolute truth. You've got to have faith in order to please God. But that is not a complete statement. The addition onto that is, without God, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is. That is true also. It says in chapter 11, that verse 27, that Moses did not fear the wrath of the Pharaoh, and he endured as if he was seeing Him, that's God, who is unseen. So we must accept that there is a God, and He is unseen. So without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is. But still, that is not the complete statement that's being made there. And the last part of the last clause, the last part of that verse says, and He, that's God, and He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. And that's very important. It's not just enough to say, oh, well, I believe there is a God. It's not just enough to say, I believe He's there even though He's invisible. He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. Yes, you can have faith in Jesus. You can have faith in God and trust in Him, and you will be saved according to Romans. I believe it's 10:9, or maybe it's 9:10. 9:10. That's where it's at. Anyway, you can look it up in there, folks. But He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. The disciples and the sisters who had hung around with Him. And they're looking at this situation like nothing is happening. Which brings us to my question to add into all this is, nothing much is happening in our Christian lives? We've got to seek out the unseen and invisible God. If we're seeking Him, that is a true act of faith. Because we can't see Him, therefore we're taking it by faith that He is there. And it comes back to this whole, the lost, the Christians, and the churches. So the lost are people who aren't seeking the invisible God because they're like, I know enough. There is no God. I don't believe Him. I don't accept Him. I don't want anything to do with Him. And Jesus would weep over those people. But it's the seekers. You've got to seek. If you're not seeking at all, then you're lost. If you're a Christian and you seek, which would be the same place as the disciples, they sought, they came with, they understood, they did have a grasp, they trusted Him. The sisters said, yes, we know You're the Messiah, we know You're the Christ, we know that on the last day You're going to raise people from the dead. And a lot of churches go that far, but they don't go any farther. It could be that our problem is, we as individuals, or as a lost person, you've never really sought out. You've never went after God. The word seeking is demanding. You've got to have it. It's that approach to, I've got to find this God that they're talking about. I want Him. I've got to find Him. And I'm going for it. And that's where the disciples were. They understood. And yet, the problem I see is Thomas heard one phrase, let's go to Him, but he didn't act on the rest of it. I wonder with the sisters, if they understood that He would resurrect people, there would be a raising of the dead at the last days, but their understanding had stagnated, just like the disciples. We've been around. We know Jesus. We have been associated with Him. We have arrived. But they never stopped to... Why didn't one of the disciples say, excuse me, Lord. You said, let's go see Him. That's fine. But would You mind explaining, sharing, teaching, or instructing us on that phrase before that? Why are you glad that you weren't there? Wouldn't it have been much more of a happy situation had you been there and healed him? Why are you glad? And why that other phrase where you said, so that we may believe? You're glad you weren't there so we would believe. Believe what? What is it we're missing? Instead, all that Thomas heard was, let's go to him. And he added, yes, and let's die with him. The sisters, on the other hand, they also had a grasp, but Jesus didn't show up, and it would have been a lot better had he shown up. Why didn't one of them say, could you explain why you didn't show up faster? You had the time, but you chose not to come. Would you share that with us? Not as an issue of anger, but as an issue of, I'm seeking this out. I want to know. I've got to know this. Would you instruct us in your ways? It'd be great, too, also, if the lost would say, they say there's a God. I haven't seen him. I haven't heard from him. They say that he's invisible. And I'm going to seek him. I want to seek him. I've got to know. I've got to know. And don't let stagnation come in. So we're back at the question I first asked. Is there much more to our life that is possible? But the lost are no longer, actually the lost have never started seeking Jesus, seeking the invisible God. Is it the churches think that they have all arrived and their doctrine is pure enough and their understanding is great enough that they don't need to seek after this invisible God? Is it that some of us as people have said, well, I've got it all together. I have enough. I know enough to live my life and quit seeking after Christ and His ways? Thomas had ears, but he didn't hear what Jesus was actually saying. Do you think Jesus is weeping over some of us now also? Some of the churches and the lost and us as individuals? Because while we do have a great understanding, He is going, you don't grasp it. You still haven't how much farther could we be along down this road if we would keep asking the questions? I'm seeking you and I've got to know the answer to this. What's the instruction? Some people He gives a talent to, some He gives five, and some He gives 10. And then He expects a return. I think one of the things that would behoove us or be in our best interest is to say, would you give me more instruction? I need help with this. I can't do it on my own. I need you to teach me. What am I missing? I'm reading these verses. I'm not comprehending them. What is it? Somebody said something. What is it? There's things that you say in the Bible, if I just had the faith, that could be accomplished. How do I get that? Feed me. Teach me. I'm seeking you and I've got to have an answer. We're back to that question. Jesus wept. For whom would Jesus weep today if He was walking on the earth? And are we really seeking Him enough with the attitude, I've got to have it, or are we at the place where we say, I have enough? It says in the last days, that they will have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. Have we sought enough? Have we got enough power in our life? Have we got the ability to share Christ? Or is He standing there weeping because we're neither hot nor cold? Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that You use this time and motivate us to really seek after You, to really say we've got to have this. Father, we are capable of landing on a plateau and saying, that's plenty, that's enough, I've got that. And we can work with that. But Father, You are a majestic, omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent God. You have knowledge, and even though we spend eternity with You, we'll never be able to fully comprehend all the details about You. Father, we could go a lot farther than what we are. So I ask on behalf of myself and on behalf of Glenwood Church and anybody else that's listening, cause us to seek after You. Show us more. Give us more than what we've got. Cause our cups to overflow. Cause our saucers to overflow also. Father, just pour it out on us. Give us buckets instead of thimbles and cups, Father. We need more. We want more. And as that day approaches, we want to be a church that you can say, they went for it. These individuals went for it. And I am proud of them. Well done. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.